What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's episode, I am bringing back a conversation from the vault. If you've been subscribed for a while, you might have heard this way back in the day, but this was out just about a little over a year ago in early January of 2023. This conversation is with fellow content creator Anne Marie. And we chat about a lot of different things. And I know that this episode was very popular for those of you who tuned in at the time. And personally for me, I say this all the time, but I appreciate when podcasters reshare old episodes that would be a little harder to get to. And I am very mindful of bringing back worthwhile conversations that are good to hear, especially if there are a lot of consistent themes that are worthwhile to revisit. And I'm just a sucker for good conversations. So as always, I think you guys will really enjoy this episode and all the topics we dive into. And with that being said, I hope you enjoy.
Anne Marie, welcome back. This is round two.
Thank you for having me, Emmy.
I was listening to our first episode together. This was also my beginning podcast journey back in March 2020. That was when this was published.
That was probably like right before the whole pandemic.
It was. Yeah. Because I think we recorded in February of 2020.
Yeah.
And that was how we met. And then we have like mutual friends. And then I have to tell the story though. We met like randomly in the coffee shop last year in person. Like we obviously know each other because of social media.
Yeah.
But then
I forgot about that. That was so weird.
That was like, and that was when I first moved here too.
Yeah. That was right when I moved here too. Yeah. Like that was probably like the first month. That actually happens to me a lot in New York. Like I'll just run into people that I like kind of know. That just happened to me like this month.
Oh really?
That's really interesting. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
I was like sitting and like working at Think Coffee. Yeah. And then I, like suddenly I see in the corner, I was like, wait a second, I know her, and you were looking at me too, and we just had to get up and say hi.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then you have more mutual friends when we had like the housewarming.
Yeah, the housewarming. Catherine, because she was also on my podcast. Kelly, who else was there that I knew? There was just a bunch of
Shelby.
Shelby, yeah. There was a bunch of people. Yeah, so small world. Yeah. So we go way back to that.
Yeah. You were my first podcast that I was ever on.
Aw, yeah. I love that. Yeah. And then now you have a podcast yourself.
Yes.
So it's fun. I want to start with like your whole journey because I feel like you went through a lot of growth over the past, basically since we last spoke on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because you went from basically, I think at that point, were you like 2 years graduated out of school?
Yeah.
Right? Like that was like winter 2020.
Yes.
And then fast forward, last year you lived all in New York for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're kind of like between New York and Alaska.
Yes. That is accurate.
But then you were also part of the Creator House.
Yeah.
So like share the whole like journey.
Okay.
The involvement.
When I talked to you, I think I was doing a coding boot camp because I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, because at that point I was probably like 8 years deep into YouTube, and it had always just been a side thing that I was never really able to make full time. I think until 2 years later, I guess, when I started having people over come to Alaska, and then I met this group of friends, and then we formed this content house called Your Mom's House, and it's like right down the street from here. I keep getting like drawn back to this neighborhood, and that I was actually only there for 6 months, so I only lived in New York for 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Why did I think that was a year?
Everyone thinks it's a year. I think because we posted so much.
That's so true.
And I also think that once you post on YouTube or just like social media in general, it kind of takes a little while for the lag between like creating the content and then posting it. So I feel like it's like kind of like a 3 month lag, which is kind of interesting.
True.
So a lot of people think that I've just been here for like the whole year, but I moved out in around May. And this is like really the first year, 2022 is the first year that I've been able to make YouTube my full-time job. And I attribute a lot of that to just like learnings at Your Mom's House and just like kind of knowing that it was possible. Like before, I think maybe even you can resonate. Yeah. Like it just, YouTube is not a traditional career path. Like podcasting isn't super.
100%.
But it kind of is with the younger generation. People like now aspire to be YouTubers. And so I think it kind of took me like a while to just shift my mindset being like, this is like entrepreneurship. It's like something that you can actually do.
Yeah.
So I think I'm finally there.
Yeah. I know there was, it was a journey being a part of the Creator House. And honestly, I have not been able to like catch up with you
that's
since then.
That's totally fine.
But like in that process, because obviously to be fair too, I had once had a podcast with a big YouTuber.
Yeah.
And then we honestly had a falling out just because I think we had different, and that was like a little dramatic because like she kind of went off the rails in certain ways and I kept my cool and just like never talked about it.
Yeah.
But I think like from that experience, I recognize that there are, it's like a business partnership, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And merging that with friendship is such a gray area that a lot of people don't know about. And it can be really tough.
Yeah.
You know? And then especially when people are in the public eye and, you know, you have, like, subscribers and fans and views and people
really
are commenting. And, I mean, I think that, like, you know, that can be a lot emotionally, you know?
It is. Not only that, is like, with social media and that being a job, and at least the type of content that we do, it's, like, lifestyle creators. You're just documenting your life. And then if you choose people that you make videos with, then people, and they have their own following, people, like, love to just kind of, like, associate you together.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair, but it also blurs the line a lot because it's, like, for what we're doing, like, what's reality, what's meant for me, like, what's meant for the internet?
Yeah.
It's very messy, and it is exactly, like, a business partnership.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, I mean, I think I've taken kind of the same approach as you.
Yeah.
Just being, I had a friend named Melissa, and she's just, like, I don't think spreading, and my mom also kind of says this, like, spreading negativity of any sort on the internet will do you any good.
Yeah.
So I just tried to focus, I guess, on the positive, or just, you know, it is like, it is also an interpersonal relationship. And it's like, I would never, I'm not like a big gossiper. So it's just like, I treat it the same way. It's like, I'm not going to tell everyone whatever happened just because it's like, that's between us, I think.
Totally.
Yeah.
Looking back, what would you say is like the biggest learning experience you had, more so on like the future of if you were to work with, I guess, like a friend or a potential business partner, you know, because I certainly had a lot of takeaways from my experience and it was very like, got it, you know, and honestly, even like the podcast we were just talking about, Call Her Daddy, like they had a falling out too, where it can just get really messy. But I'm curious to know what you learned about it and maybe like showcasing the non-glamorous side of, you know, like working with your friends.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway is I still will continue to work with other people. I think that's what makes like life fun. And just, I think that's what, I think two heads are always better than one. So I fully like plan on continuing to work with people. I think the biggest thing that I learned is you have to have the same values, which is probably like, you know, it's like kind of like dating or just, I don't know. It all goes, it's just all interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you don't have the same values, you could probably get so far, but I think down the road, something's going to come up or some issue's going to come up. And if you don't have the same values, you're going to want to navigate it differently.
Yeah.
And if it just like goes against your values and it's like, what do you do then?
Yeah.
That was my biggest takeaway too, because I think at the end of the day, if you make decisions differently and you don't see eye to eye on the reality of something, like you guys have like different perspectives of what the reality is because of different values or like just like the foundation of how you make a decision. That's, at least for me, that was where a lot of conflict happened. Like in my past partnership, it was like, she wasn't very consistent, and my value system, especially if I'm working with someone, is that I show up consistently and like, yeah, I respect their time and I respect like my half or whatever, yeah, you know, my share.
Yeah.
So I think that can be really tough where a lot of people jump into, let's do a podcast together, let's do like all these things together, and they think it's like, they forget the logistics of it.
Logistics is huge too. It's like, do you show up on time? Like, yeah, just like everything, especially, yeah, for our group. We were like a group of four. So yeah, it's like, logistically, that's challenging.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's tough. But okay, what about your New York experience though? Like, you went from Alaska.
Yeah.
To New York City, which is, I think, is funny too, because I feel like we actually talked about it back on our podcast for some reason. I feel like maybe on like a side conversation, you and I were like, yeah, we may end up like, I may end up in New York. I'm like, wait, me too. And then like 2 years later, did we end up in New York?
I vaguely remember that too. It might have been when we first met at Think that we, yes, talked about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe we did actually mention it in the podcast. I tried listening to it and I was just like, I talk way, same, too much. I can't listen to this right now. I think I love New York. Like, I've really liked, I think I keep telling people that I think Alaska and New York are like the perfect complements to each other.
Okay.
I think if I could get both worlds, then that's like kind of a perfect world.
Yeah.
And I also like, I don't think it's cold here right now. Like, I'm thriving,
right,
here. Like,
it's
compared to Alaska. Weather. Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. So yeah, I don't know. I moved here really with the house, and I did really want to move here.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved here in October 2021.
Yeah.
So almost over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that moment, I was like, I think New York's like the next like tech hub, like social, mm-hmm, media hub. And, mm-hmm, even people in the house were like, I don't really think so. Like, let's consider LA, like even random,
really?
Like Phoenix. And I was just like, no, if I'm going to move, I want to move to New York.
Yeah.
And it is like, if you, that's kind of why I come back here,
mm-hmm,
because like you could do YouTube anywhere,
mm-hmm,
but it's like a click topic on its own, kind of,
yeah,
like when I started like doing my college weekly vlogs,
mm-hmm,
it wasn't like really a category, but then later, like months later, it just becomes like, if you just put college weekly vlog,
mm-hmm,
at the time, or,
yeah,
like now if you put like New York City vlog or like apartment, it just automatically gets more views.
That's so true.
Yeah,
like I don't know, it's more fun to watch people's lives in New York, to,
yeah,
be honest.
It is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think also social media has like perpetuated like the hub of New York City.
Yeah,
like, that's,
sure,
what social media does. It like creates trends,
mm-hmm,
and then it's kind of like a flywheel effect. It's like more people like want to go there, more,
yeah,
trends come out of it, it's like more popular.
Yeah. And I feel like New York, too. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on L.A., because we both lived there at,
yeah,
some point. But I feel like not only has L.A. maybe taken the backseat,
mm-hmm,
as to where everyone is and kind of, like, the trend of where most people are, but also I think in terms of community, New York, especially post-pandemic, has created a stronger community compared to L.A. I feel like a lot of people just have that New Yorker mentality here of like, we're here together. Whereas LA, partially because it is so spread out, and I think the culture is a little bit more focused on slightly superficial things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, it's a little bit more holistic. There's a lot of, you know, education focus here. There's also a lot of like, there's the fashion industry, the financial industry, like all of these things, tech as well. Whereas LA is like maybe more primarily entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that contributed to it. But like, what are your thoughts in comparison from LA to New York? And like, do you have a preference?
Yeah, I definitely prefer New York, but it is,
yeah,
interesting because I was taking a nap, at Elena's, like the Elena Tabor, I'm,
yeah,
staying at her place while I'm here.
Yeah.
And there are like sirens just like down the street. And I just had this like in between like sleep state thought. I was,
mm-hmm,
like, I just completely missed the trauma of like the pandemic that happened. Cause this was probably like an insane place to be.
Yeah.
So I did think about that. I thought that was really interesting. And in terms of like maybe post pandemic camaraderie,
mm-hmm,
I just feel like there are so many people here, and it's,
yeah,
so easy to get around. Like,
mm-hmm,
I'm coming from Lower East Side. I just like biked over here.
Oh my God. I still haven't like biked.
Really?
Like I biked on a West Side Highway.
Yeah.
You know, but like not on the streets.
That's what I love about this city is like,
I need to do
you could either just walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Or you could just bike everywhere and you can get anywhere you need to.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not biking like that far, but I have like no problem biking like 30 minutes to get to a new place.
Oh my gosh.
Whereas like LA, yeah, you had to drive everywhere to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like it would be so common for even like friends that I would see like once a month that I'd be like, okay, I have to drive like to Santa Monica from like Koreatown area to like see my friend. And then it's just like an exhausting thought.
True.
So it's like you have, like, flakiness is very easy in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something very easy about New York, whether it's just like biking over or just like taking a train. You could just like sit on a train.
Yeah.
There's something magical.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I love that you mentioned too, like, when it comes to friendships and relationships, like, it is so much easier to kind of like maintain that here because it's easier to get to people. But I'm really curious to know, how did you maintain relationships since graduating? I feel like that's the biggest adult struggle, and obviously you and I have some years since college. Yeah. So, but like my audience there, a lot of them are either like recent post grads or like maybe some are still in college right now. How did you navigate like the adulting stage of like early mid 20s?
I think that's a really good question because it's something that I actually spend kind of a lot of time on.
Yeah.
I feel like even now, in the last year, I've met so many people, and I guess it's nice because I've always thought that maintaining like relationships was very important, but it never really had a real justification other than like, okay, it helps me socially and it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But it's cool to be in like social media or even like a podcast setting where this sounds like kind of weird, but it's, you can't actually treat it like a job. Like I kind of treat it like a job. Yeah. Like whenever I come to New York, I make sure to see like as many people as possible that I like had connections here with.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when I go to Alaska, I even like make sure that I'm like updating with all my friends there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like, you know, you have work, social life, family, like whatever is important to you, like physical activity, you have to kind of actually make time and nurture those relationships.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like you don't want to go meet up with a friend or it just doesn't seem important over your work. But I always think, and I like, I go back to that mindset too, but I always feel like really good when I do see my friends and I think it's always worth it.
Yeah.
So it's like literally taking the like actual time and effort maintain those.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this too, but like for me, when I take the time to invest in people that are, you know, again, once like they share common values, they have similar visions for their life, like it just, for me, that's always been a very fulfilling part of like life, because at the end of the day, we can have all the kinds of success we want, you know, whether it's like on YouTube or in a corporate job or wherever. But none of that means anything without the friends, you know, and without a community of people.
Yeah.
So I feel like some people really miss out when they forget to invest in those relationships that, you know, really bring back good energy.
I completely agree. And I think maybe for some people it comes more naturally to just be like, okay, it's very important to maintain your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for those people who are more like career focused or whatever, I think just making a concerted effort and just knowing that that is like an important aspect of life.
Yeah.
Because I do think like down the road, you'd completely regret it if you just lost out on a bunch of relationships. And it's not even like, you don't even, it doesn't have to be that much. I think it's like watering a plant.
Yeah.
Like you water it every so often. It's not going to completely die.
Totally. I was going to say too, it's so funny because I know we both like Naval.
Yeah.
And I feel like he talks about this in some of his work, and did you read his like the Almanac?
I did it. I bought it and then I gave it to Elliot when
Oh, really? Okay, but it's so funny because I will see, like, obviously you can see how like certain, if you follow someone that they like it, like I'll go through Naval's post and I see Amory likes it. I'm like, she gets it. That's because funny. It's also like rare. I don't know about you. I don't have many girlfriends that know or talk about Naval. And then like I remember sometimes like we'll send each other like something from Naval, or like we'll be like, yo, like I love that, or like I see you repost James Clear. So it's such like a mindset thing. But I love how he talks a lot about, you know, the social games that people play, or just like, my favorite one from Naval too is like that life is ultimately a, I think it's something like, it's just like a one player game, you know?
That's the one thing that I don't really like that he says.
Oh really?
Yeah. Why do you like it? He says life is a single player game. Like,
that's right.
Yeah. Single you player. Go through everything like essentially by yourself and you'll like die alone.
I think the way I think maybe it's the way I take it and then I reframe it in my mind. I like that approach because I think in essence that is a, there is a truth of that reality.
I do think there is a truth.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think the way I took it was like, okay, my life doesn't have to make sense to other people.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be approved or like even, you know, for me, because of some cultural differences with my parents, like there was a lot of disagreement and clash between like what I wanted to do with my life and what my mom especially thought like was ideal for me. And I think reframing it to recognize that at the end of the day, like I am the one that lives my life. You know, it is like the one player game. Like, you know, someone else can advise and someone else could say this is better for you, but you're the one playing it or living it out.
Okay, I like that interpretation a lot. I thought of it as like, okay, so none of your like relationships matter, but that's a great interpretation.
Yeah,
I love that.
What other like sayings, I'm curious to know, like from Naval, because anyone who's listening right now, you guys should really just consider to check out Naval's content, because he, to me, his I think his episode with Tim Ferriss where he talks about happiness and wealth, I mean, that just hit me, and I take it with me to this day.
Yeah, I really liked his episode with Joe Rogan. It's like a few years old now, but actually, have you listened to that one?
No, I actually haven't. I didn't even know that he did one with Joe Rogan.
Oh gosh, he talks like a lot more about probably like creating and like, okay, I think creating, or like, you know, if you can't code, like create like podcasts, like stories. True. Like, yeah, that kind of thing. I think he talks like a lot more about like building a digital brand or building and creating in a digital age. One of the ideas that I really like from him, and I guess this isn't only from him, but I think he also says like compounding effects of like relationships, or even like I think says like you can't earn like a fit body, like a true kiss. Like, it's kind of going back to what we were talking about, like those important things like relationships, maintaining your relationships. It's, you can't buy that. You have to maintain it over, you know, it has to be genuine or maintained over like a long period of time.
Yeah.
So those are the types of like very long-term but balanced thinking that I like from Naval.
True. And with that compound interest too, it's like saying like, you know, when you invest in it now, especially with relationships, like the small investments of like connecting over time, like that compounds over time, you know, because I think we forget in the moment. Like sometimes what I've noticed too is like maybe it's our generation, but a lot of it is like very focused on work, hustle and grind and finding a way to succeed. And while I think that is, of course, very important, I think sometimes we forget what's more important when like we don't have those people around, you know, to like celebrate our wins with us.
Yeah.
Or in like helping us through our losses even.
Yeah, completely. I think he is a great person to follow because he's successful, but he also has like a very well balanced approach.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing that I always try to do with maintaining relationships is I always try to get in person, like FaceTime.
Yes.
Like if that's like the only thing that you think, if that's the only thing that maintains that relationship, I think that's like the number one takeaway is like, if you're in the same place at the same time, like always go see your friends or like the people that are important to you.
Yeah.
Cause even if you don't think it'll be like a fruitful like meeting, it's like, you'll just randomly get to talking about something and then you can learn what they're doing or tell what you're doing. And like, eventually I think you either make connections, like you can have them like talk to one of your friends or just like learn what they're up to. I think that's like super important.
Yeah. And I think it's funny too, cause it makes me think about like when we ran into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's when you were like, hey, we're having like a housewarming party. And then like,
there's like synchronicity that happens or just like, there's something different about being in person.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious because of that, like occurrence, I'm curious to know, do you think in life, like, does everything happen for a reason, or is it like 50% our decisions and then 50% chance?
I think someone had like this metaphor that I really liked, because I have become like pretty spiritual, I think, since I've talked to you.
Okay.
It's just like a big part of my life, and I don't really know what that means. I think I just have been able to put my trust or faith in something bigger than myself, which has been really important for me as like someone maybe with anxiety or just like overthinking.
Yeah.
But someone said it's like, you know, placing a boat in a river, and the river is just gonna flow as it may, but maybe you have like a boat with a motor in the back. Right. So either you can just take the river with your boat, or you can kind of I think like the autonomy that we as people have is like we have like the motor, and right. it's like kind of whatever you do with it. It's like, do you want to go upriver, or do you want to go further downriver faster? Yeah. That's kind of how I think
I
of
like
it.
I like that. I actually like that because I think it is. Okay. So I agree with that, because that's the thing. That's my thing too, is I've always kind of viewed life as half of it is I make a decision and I take action on it if I do. And there are multiple potential outcomes, you know?
Yeah.
And then that takes me down like another path, you know? So it's just like, I think back to that because it's like, what if I didn't decide to go to Think Coffee that day, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just like right time, right place for us to like run into each other, you know?
Yeah. And I think if you're actually taking, if you're like, I've been really interested in this idea of like creating your own reality, mm-hmm. because I think I've been surrounded by a lot of people, even like yourself, like mm-hmm. if you're creating something online, it's kind of like manifesting on the internet. It's like, you say that you're interested in Naval, or you're talking about whatever things that you're interested in. Then it's like someone can hear that and be like, oh, like I just did a podcast with Danny Miranda. Danny Miranda loves Naval. Like they should connect. Or like someone might just like comment. I think that is kind of consistent with building your reality. Yeah. Or just like yesterday I was on the airplane and this girl was sitting next to me. She had like a coffee, like a Starbucks coffee and like two white wines. And then it was like the end of the flight. We were landing and the guy next to me was just like, so do you guys plan, like, are you guys in a rush? And then she's just like, no, but I like really, really, really need to pee. And I remember I used to be like that, where I'd be too scared to just ask the person next to me to get up on the airplane. But then what is the consequence of that? It's like, you really need to pee and you're just like sitting there in pain and no one else like really knows, but you're just suffering.
Yeah.
Where it's like creating your own reality could be as simple as just being like, can I go to the bathroom?
True.
You know, it's like those types of things are things, because I think we can get a lot further once we step outside of the box and realize like, oh, we can actually do things ourselves.
Yeah.
Then we think we can. It's just kind of like, I guess like turning on the motor. It's like, see where you can go with that. And then you can actually go where you want to go instead of just like being flowed down the river.
Do you feel like that, I guess like that kind of reality has transformed your past year? Like maybe, because I know you mentioned earlier too, like back in 2020, you were considering like coding and maybe like going down that route. And like maybe now you're more back on track with like going YouTube full time and like being in creator mode. Like what are your thoughts on that experience?
I like that question. I think in 2020, when I was doing my coding path, it was like, okay, what with my skill set, like what can I do to, I think I was more following the river, you know?
Okay.
And then this last year, I was in a position where like any idea I had, especially like in the group too, like for creating could come to life. And it was really cool being with other creators or people like creating their own reality too, because I feel like it wasn't like 1 + 1 = 2. In our case, it was like 4.
Yeah.
1 + 1 + 1 equals like a lot more.
Right, right, right.
And things could happen so much faster and we could just reach and do whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
So I think my perspective, like this last year has completely changed my perspective on that. It's like, okay, you take the initiative and you actually try, because I think a lot of the time, even just trying, people just don't even try. And it's like, you can get in your own way, you can have anxiety, like that's kind of like my issue. It's just like, oh, like what's the point of trying? Or it's like, if I reach out to this person, why would they want to respond? But I think this past year has just been like, okay, maybe it's like the spirituality thing, like putting your faith in something bigger than yourself, or just trusting that like if you try, the universe will maybe like help.
Yeah.
So yeah, my perspective has completely changed, I think.
I am so curious to hear about a few things. Like, so number one, I feel like if I remember correctly, don't you teach yoga or have taught
yoga? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I recently got back into yoga and I go consistently, which like whenever you're like consistently back in the city, we should do a session together.
Yeah.
I go to this place called Humming Puppy. I don't know if you heard of it, but it's in Flatiron and they basically have these, I think they're the bowls or like sound baths or whatever.
Sound baths,
And it's just like the ringing, like the humming of it or whatever, I don't know how to describe
vibration.
It the vibration, it's just like they do it at the end and it's just like the best feeling ever. But I think it's called Humming Puppy. I don't know the puppy part, but the humming part, because there's like a vibration going during the entire class, lingering in the background, that's actually the same frequency as the earth.
What?
Yeah.
That's it's like, so cool.
Right? So I have been going like pretty much nearly every Wednesday or like some day of the week, like midweek usually, to like keep myself going, like 7 a.m., just like morning flow. It's like, it's just like the best feeling ever. And then that has enhanced my like mindfulness practice. Also me getting into more like spirituality. But I'm curious to know what your practices are and if like, I know you like to journal as well.
Yeah.
But if you do anything that helps with like your overthinking, anxiety, also like managing any, you know, pressure or comments you get like on social media, things like that. Cause I feel like a lot of things can be like, overwhelming, and some people have similar feelings of, you know, anxiety or whatever, but maybe it's like comes from work, but maybe just hearing how other people deal with it helps them kind of get ideas.
Oh yeah, that's a big question. Well, first of all, I love that because I've heard of sound baths. Like I haven't done like a lot of the sound bath.
Yeah.
And then I'm recently like learned more about the vibrations of noises.
Yeah.
Like I love airplanes because I feel like I read and journal and write like more on airplanes than anywhere. Like I never even watch a movie because I'm just like, you can get so much stuff done, and for some reason it's like easier. And then I learned that the noise is like, it's brown noise, and it has like a so I'm very intrigued by the noise and like the vibrations of noises. I think I have a lot of practices to maintain my anxiety just because I've had so much anxiety in my life, and I feel like the last like 10 years has just been like me learning how to manage it on my own. And it's not like a perfect practice, but definitely being active, like I think that is a huge part of getting out of your head and into your body. It just brings you in the moment. I'm like a huge advocate of walks because
I love long walks.
I think like New York is like the perfect place to walk too, because you have so many places to go. You can kind of go late into the night and not, there are just so many people around. I have a yoga practice. So I did teach yoga while I was here, and then I stopped because I moved. But
was it hot yoga?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like a Bikram or Hot Power Fusion at Core Power.
Did you ever meet cute guys from it?
No. I would always think that yoga would be like a interesting place to meet people, even like girls, like people your own age, or for guys like interested in girls, but it's just like not a great place unless you're doing like teacher training. I've never really, I'm like, I can meet people like pretty much anywhere. And yoga has really not been a very fruitful place to meet people. Even though I really think it should be. It's not. I think it's because it's such a like self-practice where it might be like a little weird if you like, I don't know. So yeah, I love yoga. I think that's a great, it's like a physical meditation. I'm sure that I need to get into like meditating next, but that's not a very strong practice of mine. I journal still. I journaled this morning. That's super helpful. And then something that I've been doing recently, this, I don't know, I think I have like places keep me kind of stuck in thought. And so like if I'm uploading, because I have like a big like anxiety around uploading still, like I just don't think it'll ever go away. So I'll go to like a coffee shop or just try to get, because I think in a new environment there's just like so much new stimuli to take in that maybe it like takes your mind off of like whatever. It's kind of like multitasking. So I'll just kind of like hop around, and it helps you like go to new places, which I think is cool. So I don't know. I have like those types of practices.
Have you, especially in the past year, have you had an increase in anxiety with like social media pressures? And if so, or maybe, I don't know, if not, but I was just curious to know, like, how did you have to approach it differently to handle it? Because I know you mentioned earlier, like, you still sometimes get like anxiety from like uploading. And I feel like, like, I feel like that, like that, people face that in a similar way, but like in their own life, you know, like whatever obstacle that is for them.
Oh, that's a great question too. Cause I feel like yes, for sure. But also in this last year, there have been, actually, I guess this past year, cause when I realized that, that I was like kind of very solo posting. So I took a step away from doing a lot of group content. Like I did Vlogmas last year and that was all group stuff. And then I had like this big fear that like no one would watch my videos as soon as I stopped doing the group stuff. So, and then I had kind of like a big fear because I was like, I'm not going to involve myself in this drama, like whatever. But then later on, when it kind of like imploded with other members of the house, like leaving, I had like a huge amount of anxiety. I don't even know, because it wasn't I wasn't even really involved in it.
Right.
But it was just like maybe the drama like behind it, or I had like probably like the most anxiety I've felt social media related.
Wow.
Like in October of this year.
Okay.
And then I think after that, it went down a lot. But I think anytime you have like an extreme amount of anxiety, either it's like you getting backlash or like your friends getting backlash. I think it just kind of, this is like not a great answer, but I think it just like adds a notch in the belt. So it's just like, okay, maybe you like have to kind of go through that so that you have the strength to like get like through that for the next time.
Yeah. Do you avoid looking at comments and anything on that social? And honestly, it's more like a question for me.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I obviously am not at a scale where I feel like I worry to that level, but it definitely crosses my mind. Like, you know, just as you naturally progress in anything.
I think everyone should think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious to know how that has been for you.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's that useful to look at comments.
Right.
Honestly. Like, I probably do see a lot of the comments anyway, just because it's like checking the analytics or just like checking through. But I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it, as you get bigger and like, because a lot of the time it's like, even for negative comments or like, just the perception is not, it doesn't align with reality. So it's just like, it's actually pointless sometimes to look at the comments when people are commenting about a reality that they think has happened from their observations, where you're just like, this is not.
How do you not let that get to your head though? Or has it? Because if I read stuff, like that's probably what would get to me at this current chapter of my life, where if I read a comment where someone perceived the reality of like a situation to be XYZ, but it was not that at all.
That's really tough. Yeah. I really, luckily, like I find like a lot of internal validation.
Okay.
So I think that's just strong. Having that as a personality trait is very helpful, but also I just journal a lot. So it's like, I just tell my journal, like whatever, everything. And then I don't know. I have this, I've been like, I kind of see it as just like, you know, keeping your cards to yourself. Like you don't have to lay out all of your cards all the time.
Right.
And it's, you kind of just have to be like, okay with that. And I guess like also maybe going back to like spirituality, it's like as above, so below, like the truth will come out, or at the very least, like you can just live in your truth and know that like you're comfortable with like whatever you've done. And I think that actually there's something to that too. Just like living freely in your own actions and feeling okay with your part.
True. What is one major improvement you would say that in the past 2 years, I guess from like the last time we spoke on the podcast to now, in your own personal growth, that you would say has been like a significant change in your life and something you would kind of like advise on to younger girls in their 20s?
I think, I guess like being okay with independence. I think, I feel like you could probably definitely speak to that too. And yeah, being on your own like individual path, I think, because even as I like talk, I don't feel at all like I have like even like the YouTube success that I would want, but I think just from like the numbers or whatever, like people are like, oh, like it took you like this long, but you've like made it. So it's like always a journey.
Totally.
And it's like you were saying, it's like you're not at the scale where you think that you should think about those things.
Yeah.
I think everyone like could get to that place.
Right.
And a lot of it is like maybe even like I think a lot of my issues for growth were self-limiting or just like fear-based. So I guess being okay with, this is so like cliche, but being okay with where you are on your path, because it's like even for YouTube growth, I'm grateful that I've been on YouTube for 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I think if I had started like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, even like some of my old roommates, just like the blow up, it's like a complete lifestyle change. It's an income change.
Yeah.
Like the people who approach you are completely different. Like you're in even interpersonal relationships, I think it's a completely different lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I'm like a cautious like person. I like to know, I like to gather as much information as possible.
Yeah.
So I think just like being on your own journey, and it's like, if people don't understand that, then it's fine. And if you need to like vent to somebody, you can always vent to your journal.
Yeah, that's so true. Do you have advice around adulting? Like what was your process like? Cause I know your podcast is called Unemployed Millennial.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't know. I feel, well, first off, I think from what I've heard on your podcast, you have a really good relationship with your mom. But yeah. I think speaking from like having Asian immigrant parents, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people in that community, it's like a hit or miss with the parents. Yeah. Right? I'm sure you've yeah. heard a handful of them. And I personally am one of those where yeah. it's mainly like my mom disagreed with a lot of what I felt was my personal vision. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like it can be really tough when like, let's say like you're not employed at a corporate company, yeah. right? Like you're doing YouTube or you're doing something that's so like hard for a parent to fathom.
Yeah.
But do you have any thoughts around that? Whether it's like knowing how to stick to your tunnel vision or being able to logistically prove to your parents like, okay, this is kind of, you know, how I'm making it work. And this is kind of like my 1 year plan, like that kind of thing. I don't know if you.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have thought about this kind of a lot, because I do feel like I'm like 26. I'll be 27 next month. Okay. So I like the age that I'm at, because I feel like Danny Miranda in his podcast was like, he said it was like old soul.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I've always been an old soul. So I feel like my Likewise. Physical age is like finally catching up to my like whatever spiritual yeah, age. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I feel the same.
Yeah. But I mean, I have a really good relationship with both of my parents, but I do still like see that, like from my mom was like an immigrant from Korea, and she mm-hmm. had a more like, she had a really difficult, like poor upbringing.
Totally.
And so even when I was moving to New York, I think maybe some of it comes from a more scarcity mindset of mm-hmm. like, you don't have like the money, or like you don't have enough money in your bank to live there for like the rest of the year, or like True. Whatever she feels comfortable with.
Uh-huh.
So I think a lot of adulting, there comes a point in your adult life, and I think maybe an example with parents is a good example.
Uh-huh.
I think there comes a point where you just have to realize that, like, especially for the landscape that we're in now, mm-hmm. it's a completely different landscape, like professionally even for right. our parents.
Right.
You just have to know that you know all of the information and you know it's possible. Mm-hmm. And it's like your parents... It's really hard for me to disagree with my parents because we're so close. Yeah. So like sometimes when they're like, oh, like, what about this? Or they bring up a concern, like it does like spark a lot of like bells in my head. And I'm just like, oh, no. But then it's like just trusting yourself. And it maybe goes back to, you know, keeping your cards to yourself. It's like you have to be confident True. In what you know and what you're good at. And you can't be delusional about it.
True.
You have to have like some type of track record or credibility. But sometimes like deep down, you just like know something.
Yeah.
And so I think it kind of just, for me, that's like within the last 2 years, I've really had this realization of like, okay, my parents know a lot and they're really smart and they've helped me get to like this point.
Right.
But they don't know like everything, even especially about what I'm trying to do, because it's completely different from like their professions or what right. they've done.
Right.
So yeah, there comes a point where you're just like, okay, I know what's best for me, like deep down.
Yeah.
Even for like when people ask like a lot for relationship advice, mm-hmm. it's like only you really know what's going on in that relationship. Yes. So it's like, yes. why would you ask like the biased friend that really doesn't know that much about what's exactly going on?
Exactly. I mean, and even in those cases too, I always tell people like, try to get the most objective lens as yeah. possible. Someone that's like not even like a close friend.
Yeah.
Someone that's like completely no emotional attachment to what you end up doing.
Yeah.
And they can most likely see it from the other person's like you, they could see the gaps in your stories yes. more. And I personally do that a lot because I know that naturally I will have confirmation bias. And mm-hmm. if I ask a friend, they're gonna love me to the point where they want the best for me, but maybe like they're again only seeing my side exactly. of the story, and I'm very aware of that. So that's what I guess therapists are for.
Yeah, I was gonna say that in my head, but I don't actually see a therapist. So
oh, really?
That's one of my goals for next year. I'm like, I need to do that.
Yeah. Do you have any book recommendations? Because I feel like that's maybe up your alley. Or podcasts. You can throw in a podcast too.
Surprisingly, but. I haven't. I used to be like the biggest podcast listener, but
okay.
I have not been able to like really like consume podcasts recently. Maybe it's because I started my own and I'm like, it's like the artist, totally. Like shadow artist, like
yeah.
type deal. The last book I read was really interesting, I think. It was called The Alchemist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I actually haven't read that yet.
But... I hadn't either. I feel like it's a book that everyone's always like, oh yeah, this is a good book to read. But it kind of aligns with like spirituality. It's a lot about omens okay. and like finding omens along your like life purpose.
Uh-huh.
They call it like something very specific, but that's kind of like the approach that I've been taking for like the last few years, like mm-hmm. synchronicities and like serendipities and just yeah. kind of like following those things that like our God's way or like the universe's way of like confirming like the path that you're on. Like kind of like us meeting at a coffee shop, like that's pretty synchronous, or that's like a positive omen, I guess.
True. Do you make decisions based on instincts or logic?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Or which one do you usually, like, gun to the head, what are you choosing? Instincts or logic?
I think this past year has really tested that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I always listen to my instincts. And then usually I feel... But then this last year, like, even leaving the house, it was, like, my instinct was to leave. But logically, it's, like, I had grown so much. Like, professionally, I think it would have made more sense for me to stay.
Right.
But I guess, like, that just answered, like, I just go with my instinct.
Because yeah.
I think if I'm not living in alignment with...
Yes, the alignment thing.
Yeah. It's also very draining for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's physically exhausting.
Right.
So it's kind of
I feel like
just,
there's, like, a dissonance. Like, your mind and body feels it. That's why I'm always... That's, like, a random question I've been asking a lot of people lately. Because I used to be, like, 70, 80% of the time, like, making logical decisions. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm skewing back towards, like, maybe, like, more instincts. Because I'm recognizing, like, there are moments where... Like, that would be a great example where I might try to rationalize why I should stay in something. But just, it, like, instinctively just doesn't hit. Like, something feels off
if
I proceed with that.
I think dissonance is a word that I've liked a lot. I recently went to this thing called Summit, and there was this lady speaking about, like, resonance and dissonance. Okay. And she runs her company, like, because a lot of this, like, sounds very, like, if you're saying, like, oh, go with your intuition.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, like, but you're getting so many subscribers. It doesn't make sense.
True.
But you run into, like, dissonance. It's kind of like the opposite of, like, omens. It's like you'll run into hardships.
Yeah.
That it's like your life sometimes doesn't need to be as hard as you make it.
Yes.
Like, at least for me.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I think, like, resonance and, like, you know, the good signs come into play. But I think... just not like I follow like a lot of my intuition, even if I don't really realize that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'm on the same page, especially this past year.
Yeah.
Two more questions. One being, this is great for college students. So you went to USC, which is obviously a great school. And, you know, we went to school around like the same time period as well. But looking back, especially for those who are listening, it might be like stressed right now, whether it's like, they're graduating this coming year or, you know, finals or whatever, like in school, they're just stressed because their parents are putting pressure on them, whatever that looks like. What's your advice for anyone in college right now? And then like looking years out, is that something that's going to be linear? Or do you feel like that's something that they should maybe enjoy the process more and recognize that you might not actually end up getting a specific job in what you studied, you know? I'm so curious, too. What did you study again?
I studied business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's always useful.
Yeah. I think for the fields that require, like, good grades, like, if you're trying to be a doctor or, like, if you're in engineering or something that requires, like, you know, get straight A's, study a lot. Definitely, like, study a lot, do well in your classes. But for other degrees, like, even my degree, I think college is a great time to experiment with, like, what you want. Even, like, I started Shutter with Shelby Church, who's another YouTuber, in college. It's just a very easy way to have kind of, like, a safety net.
Yeah.
In a way. Because I think Naval also talks about this. Like, he thinks that, and I kind of think this, too. Like, the future of college is going to be, like, the future of, like, taxi medallions in comparison to like Uber, like now that people have Uber, but I have been taking more taxis lately. They're kind of cheaper, so maybe this is like symbolic, but I don't know. I think it's people should be comfortable like trying different new things in college, and it's not about the grades for some people.
Right.
Like I remember I would stress so much because, you know, coming from high school, it's like you're like the straight A student.
Totally.
You're like the top 5% of your class. Then going to like somewhere like USC or like any like probably school, you enter a different playing field.
Yeah.
And I remember I would stress myself out. I got really sick in my freshman year because I pushed myself so hard. I was like actually hospitalized because I think I was just exhausted and then like health factors.
Yeah.
And after that, I was just like, okay, it's not that serious.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. It's not that serious. Like literally none of the grades that I got matter at all for like what I'm doing.
For sure.
So, I mean, there are definitely fields that it does matter a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I have, like, two doctors in my family, and it did matter for them, I guess.
Right.
But for, like, other people, just try as many things as you want to try in college.
Yeah. I think that is the best time to experience many things. It's what I consider kind of, like, your free time, you know,
yeah.
in a way where it's like, if you're lucky, maybe your parents are helping some of your college yeah. expenses, you know, maybe you're paying some of it, or maybe someone you're on scholarship, whatever that looks like, but it's like, you're not working, like, trading time for money yet. And that's where I'm yeah. like, that's the best time to, like, try it all.
And also just societally, like, people are very helpful to, like, students.
True.
I think so. If you reach out cold DMs and emails, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that's a part of creating your own reality. Like, that's yes. something that can be life-changing. And it's like, it doesn't have to be like this whole ordeal. You could literally just, like, send a message. Mm-hmm. Just doing things like that. It's like stuff that's low cost,
yeah,
but can change your life. And then honestly, like, if you find something that you, like, love, you could just drop out of college. Like, I feel like that's, like, the path.
Yeah.
I don't know. Post-pandemic, it's like,
so true.
I don't know. Will it really matter that much in the future? Like, right. I'm grateful that I have my degree, but I know so many, like, YouTubers who, like, don't, and it'd be mm-hmm. pointless for them. And
true.
Maybe in the future, like, that's gonna change. But I think just, like, gaining the skills, like, the entrepreneurship skills.
Yeah.
Like, Shelby, for example, Shelby Church, like, mm-hmm. she has been doing YouTube full time since she was 18.
Yeah.
She's, like, a harder worker than so many people at USC. Yeah. It's like, you don't need college to gain those skills.
Right.
I think maybe at this point in time, you still might for the status.
Yeah.
But it's not that serious, I guess, right. is, like, the best takeaway.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think I'm glad you said that too, because I think, again, like, I get a lot of DMs from girls that are in college right now that will ask me questions around figuring out life, like, for mm-hmm. the future. And it's kind of like, you should think as, like, a vague big picture, I think, but not so detailed as, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do in, like, my 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Think of just, like an ideal place you'd like to be. And
yeah.
Like,
or direction.
Yeah, direction. I think direction yeah. is important, like, vision and direction.
I think that was one of the blessings that I took away from COVID, or, like, one of the pros mm-hmm. is that it's like, you can plan your life all you want, and then you have no, like, a worldwide pandemic can hit, and yeah. then your whole course of your life is, like, completely altered for so many people.
So true.
So it's just like, I think having, I like to take every, I only plan month to month. Like, I'm yeah. not planning, like, 2 months in advance.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll change as I get, like, you know, more structured. But I think sure. having flexibility and, mm-hmm. like, having a vague direction, and, like, take it day by day, or, like, month by month. Like, mm-hmm. definitely have your goals. But, like, you can't plan unless true. You're, like, on a,
yeah.
you know, doctor path. Like, you can't right. plan 5 years in advance
and
these days.
With that, too, like, nothing is perfect. Nothing ever yeah. ends up on a perfect outline. So
yeah.
Okay, well, last question, something I ask everyone, and I'm sure I asked you this last time, but in reflection of everything, what would you say fulfills you in life?
I would say my relationships, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm at a place where I can just be, like, at peace with people. Like, if I mm-hmm. show up, like, face to face, I just am comfortable knowing that that's, like, not a waste of time, that I can yeah. just fully be there and just, like, enjoying the moment. And that definitely comes through relationships. Like, for me, I would like to connect to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So definitely relationships.
Likewise. Ooh, I'm so glad we had a chance to do this and timing worked out. So
yeah.
thanks for coming into the studio. Where can everyone find you? Share your YouTube,
yeah.
Instagram, all of that.
My YouTube and Instagram is Anne Marie Chase, and my podcast is Unemployed Millennial. And I just want to commend you, because you, like, the reason why I followed you, and, like, you put out so much good content very consistently, and you organized this. This was, like, a 24-hour turnaround. I was just like, I'm coming back to the city. I didn't get enough done. And then you're just like, okay, let me book a studio. So
yeah.
you are, like you would do guy, like, you just do, like, so much. So I'm, like, very, very impressed by you. I always tell when I introduce, or, like, talk to you about people mm-hmm. or talk about you to people, yeah. I'm just like, I don't know how you do, like, everything that you do. It's
thank
amazing.
Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate it.
Of course. I mean it.
And that was all for today's episode with Anne Marie. If you enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to share this on your Instagram story. Tag the podcast Instagram at What Fulfills You and my personal one at Emily E. Duong. And if you've been loving the show for a while, It would mean the world if you could rate and review the podcast either on Apple or Spotify. And for all of the best-selling merch, including the card game, you can find that online at whatfulfillsyou.com. Remember, everything is linked in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.